All right, Friday Night Maniacs, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. Glad you're with me on this Friday night. Really appreciate you guys. Be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let me say hello to the chat. We got, I'm not sure if it's Y Honey Badger, but I got you, Honey Badger. Jules 21 Hour, C Suff, Sheila K, Jeannie Malfeasy, Veronica 18201, Mike Griffith, Regina Loves Art. Why not me? Ukrainian Dave, D9597, thank you, $20 Rumble Rant. Gritterdom is on, Drummond for Jesus. Wife of Drummond, I wonder if they're related. Todd Suff, Itchin McGroin is on, Neon Widow is on, My Broken Heart is on, Mom for Boys is on, Jim Kohler is on, Michael Tall is on, Noodlin McGroin is on, McGroin Nation is with us tonight, Aaron is on, Guzzy 600 is on, Dave Souter is on, Lou Ann 5 is on, La Picket Fence is on, Lisa Kinzer 18960 is on. Let's see, Jen Lee 78 is on. Hassle Free TV is on. Volvo 960 is on. Kevin FM1 is on. Prayer Works is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Christopher Arnott is on. Paula, Paula Cole something one. I'm something guessing. Sorry if I massacre your names. Confederate One is on. Jack and Daisy is on. Lizzie 859 is on. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. Jamil Housen is on. Mike McGoin is on. Scooter 87 is on. Appreciate you guys. Really do appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you for joining us tonight. Lots of stuff to get to. I had a brief interview with Congressman Greg Stube, who is our congressman right here, who's actually in the middle of two voting sessions in Washington, D.C., and he gave us about 7 or 8 minutes of his time. We're going to hop to that video in just a second, but I just have to make one comment off the pregame because, you know, I can't resist. Now, it's 9:13 right now. By the way, that's my former badge number, 9:13. But anyway, I'm going to make my prediction. It just turned 9:14, 10:14. 10:14, 1 hour from now, we're done. 1 hour from now, we go to the postgame. That's it. Okay, there you go. So everybody put your bets in. I'm going 9:14. Mark my words. I'm not going 1 minute over 9:14. I'm actually going to be done at 9:14. I'm not going to like stop talking and ramble on and on for another 3 or 4 minutes. I'm actually going to be done at 10:14 on this Friday night, and I'm feeling right. So here we go. So a little brief interview with this is one of the few real conservatives, real Republicans on Capitol Hill from District 17 of the state of Florida, fire breather, true conservative, Greg Stube, my congressman. Here's a brief interview with him. Play for me, Naz. Let's hop right to it. Congressman, thank you for being with us on the Time Lively podcast. We're sitting right in the middle of your district, 17th of Florida. Appreciate you coming on. Appreciate you being the fire breather that you are on Capitol Hill. We'll just hop right on it since you have such limited time. The bill that you're trying to pass that's going to prevent all federal funding for transition surgeries for illegal migrants. We know that's something that Kamala Harris has advocated for in the past. Just tell us briefly about that, if you can.
Yeah, not only is she advocated for it, but she's in a position to allow the federal government and mandate the federal government through DHS and all of the different Border Patrol programs to allow for your tax dollars to go to transgender surgeries for illegal immigrants. She's also talked about doing it for prisoners. So we decided to file a bill that would prevent her from using taxpayer dollars to give illegal immigrants and prisoners the ability to get gender transition surgeries at taxpayers' expense. So we filed that this last week, and we'll move forward as we go through the appropriations process, and hopefully that'll be something that the majority will pick up and pass out.
Yeah, hopefully. It's a sad state of affairs that you actually have to pass bills like that now that prevent taxpayer money from going to illegal immigrants for one thing, and then illegal immigrants transition surgery. That's a shame that you actually have to pass a bill like that. But we're certainly glad that people like you are on Capitol Hill doing things like that, even though it's reached these absurd levels that it's gotten. Let me hop right to the next subject because I just want to get all your takes as quick as I can on your efforts as far as getting to the bottom of the now sadly two Trump assassination attempts. If you could tell us about some of your efforts and what you're looking into, what your thoughts are on the Secret Service and, you know, the various elements of these two assassination attempts. What's going on in your mind with these things and what actions are you looking to take?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing is multiple different occasions, and this is all like fact. Mayorkas even admitted to this, that the Trump's Secret Service team has requested on multiple times more resources before the Butler shooting. So why is it that the director of Homeland Security, the Secretary of Homeland Security, is refusing the former president when his Secret Service team is saying they need more assets to protect him? I mean, you can't look at that in any other way but an intentionality to create a situation where he's not fully protected. And then we saw what happened at Butler, Pennsylvania. And we still have a lot of unanswered questions. From a military guy, I served in Iraq. I was a former infantry officer. How did a guy get on a roof with a firearm with four sniper nests and those sniper teams not see that individual? Now, what we have found out is they saw him like 20 minutes beforehand. So why didn't they take him out? Was an order requested to take this guy out and it was refused? These are all questions that we haven't gotten answers to yet. We still don't have, Congress still doesn't have the names of the individuals, the Secret Service agents that were there that day, so we could actually put them under oath and depose them. So there's a lot of questions that members of Congress have. And then you have this latest shooting. So the Speaker has put in place a task force that is going to look at a lot of these things. I haven't talked to any of the members on the task force. I don't think they've had like a public hearing yet, but I know that some of the Secret Service director has recently spoken to them. But there has to be accountability for all of this that has occurred. And the bottom line is Biden's administration, Biden's Secret Service, has refused multiple times Trump team's requests for more assets. And that leads you to one conclusion. Well, why is it they knew that the threat level was high, which is why they asked for more resources. And why didn't you give it to them? Why aren't you treating him like a president, not a former president? Because obviously he's running for president and the threat level is much different. Now you've had a second situation that clearly was preventable. This guy apparently was on their radar for like 5 years. So it's a big frustration for members of Congress like myself and a lot of unanswered questions right now.
Yeah, even Senator Blumenthal came out yesterday and basically accused the DHS of stonewalling and even said that he would now approve a subpoena. So, it gets to the place, Congressman, I know that you can't really speak as freely as someone like me because you'll be held to task, but it's getting to the place now where you have DHS Mayorkas, which it seems to me like Alejandro Mayorkas is pretty much the center of every problem that's going on in America right now. Of course, he's under the jurisdiction of Biden, but Mayorkas has sent a copied memo to the Secret Service, basically telling them to not cooperate with congressional oversight when it comes to these shootings. And it just gets to the place now, and you can comment as much as you want, but we appreciate how much of a fire breather you are up there and how much of a truth teller that you are, because that's very rare in Congress these days, even amongst Republicans. So we really appreciate you. But it just gotten to the place now where I think everyone's going to have to start looking at malfeasance instead of misfeasance, because this galactic level of incompetence cannot be not on purpose. It gets to this place where you have a 200-foot perimeter, a 200-yard perimeter around the president, and somehow there's this giant, gaping 60-foot, almost Pac-Man-style mouth open right where the most vulnerable building is, and nobody can even, the building's not secured. It's somehow inside of this perimeter, and, it was the most dangerous building on the property. So I just think that, it's getting to the place, like you said, these people need to be put under oath. I was a cop right here in Sarasota County for 25 years, 92 to 2017. Get these people on polygraphs, because the malfeasance really can't be explained. Just one final thought as far as that is concerned with you, and I want to move to the border real quick.
Yeah, I mean, if this task force has not subpoenaed those individuals to come and testify and all of those records, they absolutely need to do that yesterday and get down to the bottom of that. Because you're right, Mayorkas is not going to be cooperative with Congress and getting answers, so we're going to have to go the subpoena route and start getting accountability.
Yeah, and why aren't people like you, Eli Crane, why are you guys not on that task force? I have a lot of complaints about Mike Johnson. I'm not going to air that with you right now. We don't have time. But people like you with past military experience, Eli Crane with sniper experience, why aren't they on the task force investigating this? It's a big complaint of mine. The experts are not on there. and more middle of the road. I'm not going to say anti-Trumpers, but middle of the road Republicans are on the task force instead of the experts. One final thought on that.
Well, yeah, that's a great question. I don't have an answer for you on that. I requested to be on the task force, and he didn't put me on. So, you know, you'd have to ask Speaker Johnson on that one.
Yeah, I figured. Yeah. Just one final thing, Congressman. We won't keep you after this. It'll be the last one because I know you got to go get to the vote. On the border, just real quick on it, we obviously were having a huge issue. Now we're having a crime rave. Democrats try to say there's not an illegal migrant crime wave that's going on. We got Springfield going on and all of that. So just your thoughts on the border. I know it's a huge thing to open up. Basically, here's the numbers. 15,000 a day, roughly, are tracked coming into the country under the Biden administration. Under Donald Trump, it was 8,000 a month. So 8,000 a month to 15,000 a day now. Just your thoughts on the border, what we're going to do with the border, whether it's hopefully when Trump comes in or sadly if Kamala gets elected. Just your thoughts on the border.
Yeah, the only way to ultimately solve the problem is to elect Donald Trump as president in less than 2 months. That's the only way to truly solve it because Congress, the House, the Republican House has passed HR 2. The Democratic Senate's not even going to pay attention to it. We've had 12 million illegals come across our border just in the time that they've been president, over 384 known terrorists, over 50,000 Chinese Communist Party individuals, 30,000 Russians. I mean, they're in our country right now. And even Director Wray, under oath before a Senate committee, said that we're at one of the highest levels of threat because of the southern border and all these illegals and criminals and terrorists that have been let into our country. So the only way to fix it truly is to elect Donald Trump as president, because he's going to be the only person that's going to be able to change it from the administration side. Even if we flip the Senate and hold the House, if he's not the president, Kamala Harris isn't going to sign a border bill. That's the threat of the safety and security of our people is reliant on the election on November 5th.
That's right. I actually forgot about HR2. You guys, the actual real conservative Republicans, you've done your part. You got HR2 passed, and then it's ignored by Chuck Schumer and ignored by the Senate. So we do greatly appreciate your efforts. How much time do we have left, Congressman? Any or not at all? I don't want
to. I got to get down to vote.
Okay, I'm going to let you go. We really, really appreciate you. Come back on anytime. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, I'd love
to. Sitting right in the middle of your constituency in Florida. Appreciate you doing all that you're doing. We'll let you go and head off to the vote. And God bless you, Congressman Stuby. Appreciate you.
All right, you too. Thank you for having me.
All right, so there we go. Just a couple things off of that interview. It was a little longer than I thought. It was 7 minutes. Aaron told me it was 10. Sorry about that. But anyway, it's just the absurdity that we have to deal with. Isn't it truly amazing that Congressman Greg Stuby, 17th District here in the state of Florida, actually has to pass a bill that forbids taxpayer money from paying for transgender surgeries for illegals? I mean, our taxpayer money shouldn't be paying for anybody's transition surgeries, but let alone for illegals. And then on the assassination, the task force looking into these two assassination attempts, now it has to look into two. It's kind of funny. They formed this task force to look into the first assassination attempt. And while they're forming this committee, or while this committee starts to do, to perform whatever duties it's going to be doing, its investigation, we have a second attempt on Donald Trump's life with Ryan Routh. So now they're looking into both. And nobody on that committee has any expertise at all. They leave all of the experts off. Corey Mills, Eli Crane, Greg Stuby. Congressman Stuby asked to be on the committee as a former infantry officer in the United States Army in Iraq. He asked to be on this committee, this task force, and is rejected. Mills is a military freaking sniper. Eli Crane is a SEAL team sniper. And they're all kept off of this task force. It's almost as if Mike Johnson doesn't want to get to the bottom of it. And we all know that Mike Johnson doesn't want to get to the bottom of it because for in some form or fashion, Mike Johnson is being controlled by the Democratic Party, or he is actually a Democrat himself. But just the absurdity, and one last thing off of this, is he mentioned those now that have crossed the southern border that were on the terrorist watch list. And we put out, of course, the numbers last night. can't remember what Trump's were, but I know that Biden's is like 384, something like that. There's a 3,374% increase. I mean, everybody realizes that the absurd levels that we're talking about here. If you had a 10% increase in the amount of illegals crossing the border that are on the terrorist watch list, that costs you the presidency of the United States. That in and of itself caused a 10% increase. And we're not talking about a 20% increase, double that. We're not talking about a 50% increase, five times that. We're talking about a 3,371% increase in the amount of illegals crossing the southern border that are on the terrorist watch list, and now they're in the wind. Nobody even, they have as much a clue about where those terrorists are as they do the 325,000 kids they've lost that are being sex trafficked and labor trafficked. The levels of absurdity are unbelievable. And it goes right into the title of this podcast tonight, which is Mass Corruption and Tyranny. So let's hop to the border. Let's just go ahead and hop right to the border tonight. Steve, to a video. This is Ben Berquam talking about the wall materials that were left behind by Donald Trump because of course, Biden stopped building the wall. Now Kamala wants to spend hundreds of millions. Keep this in mind while you're watching this video. Kamala Harris has now come out. Remember, she wants no tax on tips. I mean, and Trump's wanting no tax on overtime, things like that. I'm wondering when that's going to come out. But anyway, remember now, Kamala Harris has vowed via Axios. She hasn't come out and said it. She leaked it to Axios, or was it Politico? I believe it was Axios. It was Axios. So she leaked it via a staffer to Axios that she's going to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on the border wall. Why didn't she do that 1 year ago, let's say? How about 2 years ago? How about 3 years ago? How about 3 years and 8 months ago? And what were they doing instead of building the wall is they were selling the wall parts off for pennies on the dollar. For a country that's $36 trillion in debt. Steve Touhey video titled Sickening. Play it for me, Naz.
This is one of the few large border wall graveyards still left. I want to get up on top here and just show you how much of your tax dollars have been wasted. Hundreds of millions of your tax dollars wasted, rotting out in the sun. Because of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Everything they've told you about the border is a lie. For 4 years, they've allowed this to happen. 4 years, they lied to you and told you that it was President Trump's fault. 4 years, they allowed the wall that President Trump was putting up to rot out here in the desert. Everything they've told you is a lie. And this is the stuff they couldn't sell. Most of it they did at pennies on the dollar. There are massive yards like this all along our southern border, and they got rid of most of it so you wouldn't see it. This pile still happens to be out here, so you can. That's what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris think of our border security. And now, after 4 years of allowing our country to be invaded, Kamala Harris has the nerve to say she wants to build a border wall. What a witch. What a lying witch.
And again, just the Olympian reaches of absurdity to where now you're saying that you want to build a border wall using hundreds of millions of dollars when you have sold off for pennies on the dollar billions of dollars worth of wall materials that were just sitting out there. And all. And by the way, it was already funded. So get this now. Not only do you lose all the billions that were set aside for the wall, you lose all the billions for the materials themselves. You're like, well, Tom, aren't those one and the same? No, they're merged together. They're connected together because you have the wall materials that were sold off for pennies on the dollar, but all the labor was already paid for too. And now where's the labor? It just has already been paid. It was already budgeted. Where did it cost about $8 billion to build that wall? And about $4 billion had already gone in. Where's the other $4 billion? It's so absurd that people don't care about billions. Billions and billions and billions of dollars. Nobody cares about it at all. And I hope that I have time tonight. It's not looking great to get to this, some of the budgeting stuff. It's not boring. It's actually really good because it's Thomas Massey, but I don't get to it tonight. I'll get to it Monday. But just the absolute galactic levels of absurdity. I'm going to build a wall now for hundreds of millions of dollars when it was already fully funded before. That funding is now completely gone. It's evaporated into nothingness. And they're selling off the parts, the wall parts, for pennies on the dollar. That's what they, imagine this. Suddenly you care. They want to pass this border security bill, border infiltration bill. They wanted to pass the border facilitation bill is what I call it. While they're wanting to pass that bill, allegedly under James limp-wristed Lankford out of Oklahoma, James complicit with the Democratic Party Lankford, while they're trying to pass that, they're selling off the border wall parts. How are you wanting border security? And of course, they never tried to pass that bill until 2024. So they can say that they're for border. So they can say they're for border security. But what it was, only thing it was going to do is basically like hiring 87,000 IRS agents to investigate middle class people. It was going to hire 40, 50,000 CBP agents to go and facilitate illegals across the border, not stop illegals from crossing the border. Facilitate them across, not stop them from crossing. That was the point of all of it. All right, let's go to the next one. Real America's Voice video. 1,500 per day coming through Tijuana only. Tijuana only. Not 1,500 a day crossing our borders. 1,500 a day crossing in Tijuana only. Play for me, Ness.
And now is walking across the ports of entry. Oscar, I just talked to Oscar. He said 1,500 people a day sometimes just in Tijuana that they're letting in under their CBP-1. So you don't see the illegals that are coming in that way. But in areas like Sasebo, Arizona, and out in the Tohono O'odham Reservation where Art Del Cueto of the Border Patrol has taken us, those areas are getting hammered. So all of this traffic that isn't going through CBP-1, which is, again, illegal immigration by another name, is now being spread out. All these people are being handed off to the cartel, and they're being brought in with the drugs, they're being brought in with the children that are being sold for sex, and they're being brought in with the terrorists that want to do America even more harm. All of that's happening, and it's because of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden's policies.
And I guess really kind of the title of tonight's show, or the theme of tonight's show, would be just the Olympic reaches of absurdity. 1,500 a day in Tijuana only. This is what's going on right now. See, a lot of us, and some of you may live in places that have been affected by this. I see illegals all the time around where we live right now, all the time, every day. There's specific stores absolutely overrun by illegals. They're not, and these are people that are actually working. They still shouldn't be here. Absolutely shouldn't be here. No exceptions. If you came in illegal, you get deported, period. That's exactly where I stand. Just like should a baby ever be aborted? Absolutely not, for no reason. That's real life, by the way, and that's God's standard. Let your yes be yes, your no be no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. That's Jesus speaking, Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. So that's the kind of stance that you have to take if you want to be right with Yahweh. You want to be right with God. You want to be right with Jesus and the Holy Ghost. So I see them here, but our situation is not problematic like it is in Aurora, Colorado, like it is in Springfield and numerous other areas of the United States. And I guess the biggest question to always ask is, why is it that all of these people that are for illegal immigration, why are they not bringing them to their towns? I mean, there's so many available towns. There's so many sanctuary cities. Why are they not being brought there in mass? Why Springfield, Ohio? Why Aurora, Colorado? And Aurora, Colorado is leftist, though. And when they actually do, when the illegals actually do land in a blue area, all the blue people do is complain about it. And they complain about it, and they talk about how it's ruining their lives, and there's mass crime, they're being overrun with crime, homeless camps, drugs, feces, everything else. And then they vote in the exact same people that put the plague upon them. Tom, are you calling this a plague? Yes. My yes is yes, and my no is no, because whatever's more than these is from the evil one. Yes, it is a plague because it is all illegal. It is lawlessness, and lawlessness is a sign of the end times. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 3 through 8, lawlessness is a sign of the coming of the Antichrist. You don't want mass lawlessness. All right, let's go to this last one. All these are Ben Burquam. Love Ben Burquam. Follow him at Real America's Voice. Follow him under his own, you know, under his own name. Tom, why do you tell us to do that? Because these are great people on the front lines. People like Bill Malugin, too, on the front lines. End wokeness video. This is the way. Am I in the right one? Or is it Cartel Bunkers? Okay, Ben Burquam video. Cartel Bunkers on the border outside of Nogales, Arizona. Play for me.
So just to show you how sketchy this is, we just came out east of Nogales, Arizona, heading out. That's the end of the wall right there. If you continued up and over those mountains there, you'd end up eventually getting to Naco, where the wall continues. All of this cartel controlled. Not a single Border Patrol agent that we've seen since we've left Nogales. There were a couple on the outskirts of town, just basically guarding the rain gates. But as soon as you come out here, if I turn over here, this is what I want to show you. This, right down here at the bottom. Now there's a wall here, it's got razor wire. They still cross it. They throw some blankets over the razor wire, or they cut the razor wire and they go across. But right here, they don't need to do any of that. All of this section is wide open. And right on top of that hill is a cartel lookout. He's got a long gun. He's probably looking at us right now. And he sits up there and he tells the people when to come across here, when to bring their drugs, when to bring their people. All day long, this guy's operational. He's got a solar panel. He's set up. He's camping out up there, working for the Sinaloa cartel. And we're allowing it to happen. And the reason this section of wall is not complete, it's because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris didn't want it built. The base of the Democrat parties don't want any walls. They chant no borders, no walls, no USA at all. That's who they are. While this guy and the cartels are making billions of dollars, and our people are dying from their fentanyl, and our people are dying from the illegal aliens that are coming across that these guys are profiting off of and that the Democrats are profiting off of.
Now, that cartel sniper under Donald J. Trump will no longer be living. So we need to keep that in mind. You talk about who you want to vote for and who you don't. How in the world can you ever be a Democrat and vote? Yeah, throw that one up there. To allow someone like this right there to actually stay living. He is facilitating the invasion of your country. And Aaron called him a coyote because that's what Kamala Harris calls him. Because she is just so societally inept, socially inept, that she doesn't know how to properly, just like Barack Hussein Obama, pronounce corpsman, corpsman, because they have no idea what they're talking about, because corpsman is actually spelt with an S. And if anybody who is actually has some sort of societal etiquette and has actually been involved in society and hasn't had their butt kissed and their boots licked their entire lives and go from a community organizer into the presidency of the United States, or gone from basically a political prostitute like Kamala Harris now running for president of the United States, you actually know when you aren't in those sort of societal symbiotes and circle bleeps. You actually know that it's a coyote or a corpsman and not a coyote and a corpsman. You actually know that. And under Donald J. Trump, this guy no longer lives. Instead, he sits up on a mountain and facilitates the invasion of the United States of America while Alejandro Mayorkas sleeps like a baby at night, while kids are being raped and sex trafficked and labor trafficked, and fentanyl by the tons is being brought into the United States of America. Sleep like babies tonight. I couldn't sleep like a baby at night when I'm at fault for losing 325,000 kids. And remember, that's the number that they consider to be palatable. Started off with 85,000 they said were missing. They confessed to that. And now it's come out that it's 325. So you can just bet it's over a million that are missing. You think that out of the 15 to 17 million he's allowed in this country, Mayorkas and Biden, that only 325,000 of them are missing children? I don't think so. It's probably, again, going by CBP statistics, 1 to 5 times that many. So you can probably start at a minimum of 650,000. Aaron, you got that open wall pick for me?
Yeah, we're pulling it. Yeah.
All right. So I just want to show you this. Remember what Ben Burkholm was talking about. He's just running it. He's running, you know, the camera along the wall. That's perfect right there, guys. That's absolutely, there's our wall. That's the wall for the southern border. He actually mentioned there were some parts where you don't see this wall, where there's razor wire. You see anything here? There's absolutely nothing. There's no razor wire, and I'll get to the story in a minute, but Texas is now having to put up razor wire. Where, Tom? On the border with New Mexico. Not Mexico. New Mexico. Because Grisham, the governor of New Mexico, just allows them to flow into Texas, which we'll get to that in just a minute. But this is our southern border. Do you see any CBP agents? Aaron, do you?
No. Nope.
I don't see anybody. I see nobody. Okay, that the far side is Mexico. Close to us is us, I believe. Well, maybe no, it's the other way. No, I don't know. I don't remember. But anyway, I can't remember. I don't know which side's America and which side's not.
I think the one closest is Mexico.
Yeah, I think the one closest. I think it's coming from the mountainside where the coyote was. The coyote. So I believe on the far side is America. So just ask yourself, what is stopping anybody from coming in? What's stopping a tank from coming into America? What's stopping anybody? Absolutely nothing. And like I said last night, the northern, you think this is bad? You should see pics of the northern border. The northern border, there's no wall at all. If there's anything, it's a 2x4 sitting on blocks. That's it. And Justin Trudeau, son of Castro, is allowing anybody and everybody to come into the United States of America. Let's go to this one. End wokeness video. This is the way. Texas National Guard just installed razor walls on its border wall with, not Mexico. They've already done it with Mexico. New Mexico. Play for me, Ness.
National Guard has installed razor wire along the Texas-New Mexico state line. Our sister station, KTSM, captured this footage showing the concertina wire and fencing west of El Paso yesterday afternoon out of concern that illegal migrant smuggling is spilling from New Mexico into Texas. The Border Patrol says the Santa Teresa station here in New Mexico is one of the busiest in the country for migrant smuggling, and many migrants have died in the desert near Sunland Park. Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham responded in a statement saying, quote, Governor Abbott seems to be pushing to make Texas its own country without regard for his neighbor.
How does that even make any sense from Grisham? And remember, Grisham is the one who wanted to confiscate firearms. And she was actually rebuffed by her own members, the Democratic members of the Supreme Court. This woman who just wanted to just unilaterally go into Albuquerque, New Mexico, and confiscate firearms. That's what she wanted to do. And she refuses to guard her own border. Because again, everything is so galactically absurd, it's almost beyond communication because it makes no sense. She allows anybody and everybody to cross into her country, and then they all go to Texas. Because where are you going to go? Where are you going to go in New Mexico? No, they're all going to go to the big cities in Texas, and Texas being the second largest state has far more assets, far more money than New Mexico does. So they're all going to flood into Texas. It's just like Trudeau allowing them to flood into the United States, just like Mexico allowing them and paying for them because the cartels control the president of Mexico. So the cartels are allowed to basically have government visas to just travel from the southern border of Mexico all the way up to the northern border of Mexico with these giant caravans and buses and trains. We put up the videos of buses, of trains full of migrants. That's all sponsored by cartels because they're making about $10,000 a person. And billions of dollars. And again, this is all globalist action. And all of those global dollars end up in the hands of Circle Bleep symbiote NGOs at the border that are helping Catholic charities, Jewish charities, breaking in billions of dollars. They use parts of those billions of dollars to reelect the people that are giving them billions of dollars. And the people that are giving them the billions of dollars are also in the tank with the cartels. Because it's all one giant symbiote circle bleep. And just remember this. Put that up for me, Aaron. Just want you to remember this from last night. Here's the actual statistics. Yeah, I was actually somewhat correct. I said 300-something. Terrorist watch list encounters. Oops. All right, we lost it. Let's go back to the pick. All right, yeah, there you go. Terror watch list encounters. Southern border under Donald Trump. Here it is right here. Under Donald Trump. 11. Over 17. I'll put it up here. 17. 18, 19, and 20, 11. So basically three per year. Under Joe Biden, 382 people who are on the terrorist watch list and they have no idea where they are, just like the 325,000 kids in the wind, gone. Just a mere increase of 3,373% in a matter of 3.5 years. Truly unbelievable levels of incompetence, but we all know it's not incompetence. It's actually done on purpose so that they have voters and so that we can be more easily globally governed. That's all that it's about. Because if you import all of these people, now you have foot soldiers on the ground too. You import all of these people who have no heritage connection to the Constitution of the United States of America. They're very easily globally governed out of Beijing, out of Davos, and out of London, England. All right, that's good. We'll change subjects now. Now, in the midst of all this, I want to put everybody's hearts at ease. Aaron's laughing. I want to put everybody's hearts at ease. As Dan Bongino says, don't you worry. I'm going to put your hearts at ease now because, and wokeness video, breaking, Here's the White House taking action. The White House has taken action on all of these calamities, right? All of these mass calamities around the United States of America. Just raging rape rate, raging crime rate, raging illegal immigrant crime rate, raging American crime rate, hyperinflation, unaffordable housing, unaffordable groceries, unaffordable gas, invasion at the southern border. Our military is an international joke. But in the midst of that, don't you worry. The Biden White House, they're having a cabinet meeting. Get this, Aaron, get this. They're having a cabinet meeting for the first time in 11 months.
Oh, my gosh.
Absurdity is the theme of the show.
Yeah.
Trump met with his cabinet every week. They haven't, I'm not talking about 11 weeks. Biden hasn't had, feel free to laugh, Aaron, we're good. Feel free, I mean, get this now. I'm not talking about 11 weeks. I'm talking about 11 months. I'm not talking about, you know, they're meeting every other month. No, they haven't met. He hasn't had a cabinet meeting for 11 months. Who's communicating with this man? And now that they're having one, I want everybody to notice who's running the cabinet meeting. Play for me, Naz.
Have. She talked about the fact that sometimes the White House, in her words, surprises you. And for somebody who has worked on women's health issues for her whole career, frankly, as a teacher, but also as the second lady and now as the first lady, she said one of the things that struck her the most was the inequities in medical research, funding for medical research for women. So this is an important priority of hers that she had the opportunity to at this cabinet meeting to spotlight. And as you had that great interview with her, Peter, talking about the fact that, yes, a burden may have been lifted from her husband's shoulder in one respect with the end of his campaign, but there's still a lot of work that they both intend to do during their last few months in office here.
What can be unburdened by what has been? So Joe Biden sits at the head of the table. So Joe Biden's running the country. Joe Biden, who calls himself a doctor, and she actually plagiarized her doctoral thesis. But anyway, just like that's a Biden, you know, that's a Biden thing. Plagiarizing is a Biden thing. So, and people who actually read her doctoral thesis said that it was junior high level. And somehow she became a doctor. But her name's Biden, so you get whatever you want, right? Not you and me, but they get whatever they want. And then they claim to be for the middle class when it's actually completely and totally the opposite. Now, I had to show you this. Most of you have seen this video, but it's too good not to show you. It's an EE video. What Democrats don't want you to see about mass immigration. Everything that you have been told for your entire life by the federal government, you're like, Tom, that's hyperbolic to say everything. You know what? Everything you've been told by the federal government, I'm 56 years old, Aaron's 30, Naz, are you 30 yet?
Yeah.
Aaron and Naz are 30. So for their 30 years, my 56 years, everything that we've been told by our federal government, both Republican and Democrat, and believe me, I'm a devout Republican, I'm just telling you, most Republicans are actually Democrats, stealing that from Bongino, but no Democrats are actually Republicans. Everything that you've been told is a lie. One of the things, now, of course, there's many tactics and many variables of the lies, but one of the lies that your Democrats say is that they're going to solve the world's problems by bringing in, by allowing mass migration. They're going to help, you know, the world. They're going to help, quote, unquote, the world via mass migration. So when people are suffering, they're going to bring them in the United States. Now, they're going to solve their problems by bringing them in the United States, because the United States is so wonderful, which it is. They're going to bring them in the United States. But when they bring them in the United States, they're going to bankrupt the United States. And then what do? So you're bringing them into this country to save them. And by bringing them into the country, you're bankrupting them with $36 trillion in debt. But one of those arguments that they always use is that we are going to solve the world's problems by bringing in migrants. Now, this video is talking about legal migration at 1 million a year, which, by the way, it's chain migration. So our 1 million a year, because everything you've ever heard is a lie, is 2 to 4 million per year. That's legal. So understand that under the Biden administration also. Under the Biden administration, not only is he allowed in roughly, let's see, 17 divided by 4, 4 million per year illegally, he's allowed in 4 million per year legally. So 4 million per year illegally, 4 million per year legally via chain migration. And the government everything that you hear from the government's a bold-faced lie. When they allow in 4 million per year, because I want you to see this, because in the video, he's advocating for 1 to 2 million per year. He's not advocating for it, but that's what he's saying the numbers are. It's because everything you hear is an absolute lie because it's chain migration. So when the government tells you that they've allowed in 1 to 1.2 million legals, legal migration, which I'm for legal migration. I'm not for legal chain migration, though. Mm-hmm. Chain migration is they statistically tell you that they allowed in one person, but that one person can be up to 10 people because they allowed in wife, they allowed in kids, they allowed in mom, dad, grandparents, cousins, and aunts and uncles. So one person could be representing 12. So when they say that they allowed in 1.2 million and each person is actually worth somewhere between 4 to 6 people or 4 to 10 people, how many people have actually been let in? We're looking, folks, I don't want to scare the crap out of you, but we're looking at about somewhere between 8 to 10 million per year into the United States via legal and illegal routes, and in the legal route is actually still illegal because it's chain. But I want to show you this video. Most of you have seen it before. It's the gumball guy, but it's absolutely riveting. Play for me, Ness.
Some people say that mass immigration into the United States can help reduce world poverty. Is that true? Well, no, it's not. And let me show you why. This gumball represents the 1 million legal immigrants that the United States has taken every year on average since 1990. Now, who in the world deserves our humanitarian compassion? The World Bank has one measure of the desperately poor of the world. They make less than $2 a day. And how many people make less than $2 a day in the world? Well, let's start with Africa. In Africa alone, there are 650 million people who make less than $2 a day. 650 million. And in India, another 890 million people, desperately poor. China adds another 480 million people, making less than $2 a day. And unfortunately, the rest of Asia has a heartbreaking 810 million people who the World Bank says make less than $2 a day. And finally, there's 105 million of Latin America's population that are desperately poor. All told, the World Bank says there are 3 billion people in the world, 3 billion people who are desperately poor, making less than $2 a day. That's 3,000 gumballs. And every year, we take 1 million and suggest that we've somehow made a humanitarian difference. Of course, we don't pull our immigrants from these desperately poor populations, do we? These people are too poor, too sick, too disconnected to make it here as immigrants. We tend to pull our immigrants out of the better off poor of the world. And Mexico tends to define the type of immigrant that we bring here because the plurality of people come from Mexico. And Mexico is poor. How many people in the world live in countries that have average incomes lower than that of Mexico? And the World Bank tells us that that number is these 3 billion plus another 2.6 billion people. 5.6 billion people in the world who live in countries with average incomes below that of Mexico. That's 5,600 gumballs. And so what is it that the elites are telling us? They're telling us that when we take this 1 million immigrants, that we somehow or another are tackling world poverty. And we have to do it regardless of the effect on our unemployed, the working poor, the most vulnerable members of our society, regardless of the effect on our natural resources. Even if we went by the most radical proposals in Washington, which are to actually double our immigration to 2 million a year, which would totally overwhelm our physical, natural, and social infrastructures, we couldn't make a noticeable difference. And we may be really hurting the impoverished people of the world, because the million that we do take are among the most energetic, often the better educated, certainly the most.
Hey guys, we're just going to take a break off this video real quick because I want to tell people in 2 minutes we're going to be leaving the Christian Television Network. It is not CTN cutting me off. Don't call them and say, why are you cutting Tom off? They're not. They're not cutting us off. That is the end of our time. Switch over to Rumble and watch the rest of the show. All right, back to the video.
satisfied people that if they did not immigrate, would be the agents for change to improve the lot of all the people in these countries. The true heroes in the global humanitarian field are the people in these countries who have the wherewithal to immigrate to another country, but instead stay in their countries to apply their skills to help their fellow countrymen. Unfortunately, our immigration system tends to entice these very type of people to abandon their countrymen. The impossibility of making even a dent is actually worse than it looks here, because last year, when we took 1 million immigrants, these countries added, births over deaths, 80 million more people into the impoverished population. And this year, Congress is bringing in 1 million legal immigrants. And this year, according to the United Nations, these countries are expected to add another 80 million people. And next year, you can be quite sure that Congress, unless stopped by the American voters, will bring in another 1 million immigrants. And these countries, unfortunately, will be adding another 80 million people into these impoverished nations. We could take 5 million a year, but we'd never get ahead of what's happening in these countries. Not in this century. Don't you see? Immigration can never be an effective or significant way to deal with the suffering people of the world. They have to be helped where they live. 99.9% of them will never be able to immigrate to a rich country. There's no hope for that. They have to bloom where they're planted. The only place that 99.9% of these people can be helped is where they live. Let's help them there.
You bring it back to me. So now that is what is called on the TLP. Everybody get it now. Facts. All we've heard our entire lives from our federal government is bull-faced lies. We're going to help the world by bringing in 1 million people per year. Now we're bringing in via legal. It's hard. It sounds the same. Via only an L, legal immigration, about somewhere between 2 to 4 million per year because of chain migration. And under the Biden administration, we're bringing in somewhere between, let's see, again, 17 million divided by four, about another 4 million. So bare minimum of 8 million per year now. Even if you took eight gumballs, what would it do? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But fund the symbiote. Fund the circle bleep, fund the world cabal where these politicians enrich themselves. That's all that it does. How does that work? Well, you just get federal funding, billions of dollars sent down to Jewish charities, to Catholic charities, which are facilitating all of these illegal migrants through the Darien Gap, and they're getting billions of dollars, which are then funneled back to the politicians that gave them the billions of dollars via campaign donations, which are funneled to their spouses, i.e. Ilhan Omar, i.e. Bernie Sanders, who both of their spouses have become multimillionaires via their campaign finances. Because all you have to do is be the ad buyer for your spouse and you get 10% of every ad that you buy. Bernie Sanders spends, let's say, $30 to $40 million per time on ads alone while he runs for president of the United States. And that is on the very low end of things. So say that, you know, he spends $40 million. His wife just became a quadruple millionaire. She now is worth $4 million. Per every time he runs. Now he actually spends hundreds of millions of dollars on ads. So she is making on those ad buys. This is all, by the way, completely and totally 100% true. She's making $10, $20 million every time he runs for president. But not Bernie, his spouse. Ilhan Omar's spouse, not the brother one. The non-brother spouse, after she divorced her own brother. She was in an adulterous relationship. Wonderful, wonderful human beings. Just fantastic people that pontificate constantly about their morality and wanting to impose their morality upon us. You know what? I really don't want the morality of somebody who married their brother imposed upon me. I'll live on my own morality. I'll even go to hell on my own morality, my own self-righteousness. I'd rather have my own self-righteousness than Ilhan Omar's version of self-righteousness. Now I'm depending on the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, Romans 3:22 through 25. I'm just saying, I would certainly rather to go to hell on my own terms than Ilhan Omar, who marries her own brother and then gets involved with a campaign staffer in an adulterous affair, marries him, and now, not this campaign, but the one before, I wonder what she gave this campaign, gave him $3 million for a consultancy fee. Totally legal, by the way. Totally legal. Totally legal. If you're wondering how it all works, why they destroy your life, they're getting paid to do it. I could name all the ways they're destroying your life, that they're getting paid to do it, but we don't have time, and it's too much of a deep hole. But one of those ways is illegal mass migration. Because somebody has to facilitate these people into our country. Somebody has to give them water. Somebody has to give them travel. Somebody has to house them. Those are all NGOs that then re-donate to the Democratic Party via campaign finances, via campaign donations. That's how they all get rich together. We could get into Ukraine. That's how they all get rich there too. And many other things. It is a hierarchical, hypocritical global blob, global oligarchy that you and I, as George Carlin said, are not invited to it. We're not invited to that party. They whether it's COVID, whether it's the IMF, whether it's CBDC, they all profit off of it, but you and I don't. Vaccines that kill 35 million excess deaths up to this point right now. And though, by the way, again, that's a very small number because those are the people with life insurance. How many people in third world countries or even second world countries or even first world countries actually have life insurance? So those are the ones that have life insurance because that comes from the Society of Actuaries. While the insurance companies sit there with their thumbs up their rear ends, acting like they don't know why there's been this exponential increase in excess deaths that started in 2021, not 2020, not with the most virulent variant of a cold, COVID-19, but in response to the solution to the most virulent variant that was a cold, the vaccine. Why anybody would ever take a vaccination for a 99.9% survival virus is beyond me. But again, we are in the galactic reaches of absurdity. Speaking of that, let's go to this. Mischief video. Congresswoman, I got a bunch of little stories here that'll work out well for timing. Shooting for 11 minutes. Shooting for 11 more minutes. Hope everybody can hang with me. 898 people watching right now. Online, appreciate you guys that we're allowed to see because, of course, our speech is being censored on YouTube and on Facebook. In America, imagine where this podcast would be if we were allowed to actually have free speech, not being censored. But I digress. All right, mischief video. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's outlining another Kamala Harris success story. Another one we've talked about it before, but there's a little bit more detail here. Another Kamala Harris success story. Play for me, Naz.
This is in 2021. President Biden taps Kamala Harris to lead effort to close digital divide. The White House released their remarks by President Biden, an address to a joint session of Congress. And in the process, it will create thousands and thousands of good-paying jobs. It creates jobs connecting every American with high-speed internet, including 35% of the rural America that still doesn't have it. This is going to help our kids and our businesses succeed in the 21st century economy. And I'm asking the Vice President to lead this effort, if she would. Vice President replied, "Of course." The President said, "Because I know it will get done." Now, fast forward to 2024. Here's the headlines. Why has Joe Biden's $42 billion broadband program not connected one single household? Maybe it's because this is also in the headlines that Harris announces plans to help 80% of Africa gain access to the internet, up from 40% now. Talk about a policy failure. Talk about not delivering results to the American people. Spending $42 billion, yet not having one household connected to the internet. Mr. Carr, is that actually true? Not one home got internet?
That's correct. In Georgia alone, there's about 257,000 homes and businesses that lack internet today. So that's potentially millions of people that were supposed to be connected through this program. $42 billion was enough money to actually end the digital divide in this country with competent implementation. Unfortunately, we have not cleared that hurdle. We have stories out right now that describe the implementation as chaotic, dysfunction, delays, no guidance, finger-pointing, messy, delayed rollout. That's just not getting the job done.
That's right, Mr. Carr. And many of those homes and businesses are actually in my district, and they're outraged. You know, we're over $35 trillion in debt. Biden-Harris administration has been in charge for nearly 4 years, but not one home or business has gotten internet. It's outrageous. This is so concerning to me. How can the woman, Kamala Harris, that is telling the country right now she wants to be president of the United States, actually ask for this job if she has not been able to deliver what the president assigned her to do, which was to take that $42 billion and provide internet to the American people?
All right, Aaron, I need tech support here, so put yourself on. Now, here's the thing. Now, I want to go over this because, Aaron can back me up with things that are tech. So, you get a $42 billion outlay. By the way, that's already gone. Aaron brought up a very valuable point. At least if we're going to be $36 trillion in debt, can we have something to show for it? I mean, Aaron and I are both paying mortgages, but yep, we have something to show for it. We are in debt, but we have something to show for it. Our houses are there. They'll be paid for shortly, but our house is there, so we actually have something to show for our debt. They put out $42 billion. All of that is gone, by the way. Like, wait a minute, how could it be? It's gone. So where did it actually go? Again, absurdity, mass corruption, and tyranny. It's gone. It's $42 billion so that everybody could be hooked up to the internet. And let's break this down for just a moment. Starlink, Aaron, are you on Starlink at your house or something else?
No, I'm on Frontier.
All right, do you have any idea what Starlink costs? Because I have it, but I don't even know what it costs.
I think it's like $120 a month or something
okay,
like that.
Right, so yeah. So have anybody and everybody. Not only that, but you can actually hook up several people to one Starlink thing.
Yeah, yep.
So you're telling me that, I'm trying to remember what it cost me to get Starlink. And then by the way, and Starlink's a little bit upscale, but not much. And not only that, but of course you have Comcast around everywhere else, Frontier around, all those different venues that you can go to. And you're given, now get this now, she was given this $42 billion, and she, of course I'll take it in her little cackle, stupid voice. And Aaron, if you've got any Kamala that wants to come out, you can feel free to let that fly. In her little cackle voice, of course I'll do it, Mr. President. Of course I'll do it. So here she's given she's given $42 billion. It's September of 2024 now, folks. She was given that in 2021. It's all gone, and not one person's on the internet. That's just like the $8 billion that they spent to build electric charging stations for cars. $8 billion, and so far, to build 500,000 electric car stations. That started in 2021 also, these grandiose plans. And so far, they've built seven.
Oops.
Seven, not 70. Seven. What do we got here? 441 for hardware, 120 a month, Naz. Is that it?
Yeah, this is for Starlink.
Okay, so
yeah.
Starlink, you know what? $441. I wonder how many times 441 goes into $42 billion. We're not, don't bother, guys. And that's just Starlink, and that's a little upscale. That means you'd actually, because Starlink, you don't have any, you can bring it back to me. I don't want to keep you hanging. But anyway, this is, leave that up for me. I'm looking at some of you guys aren't looking at. It's to my left here, another screen. That's actually kind of bougie, Starlink. A little bit, not really. I mean, I have it because I'm out in the middle. I live in the middle of nowhere. I was very much armed until the devastating alligator attacked out on the Niagara River and all my guns fell in the water. So, I mean, it's a shame. A shame. So now I'm helpless and unarmed. FBI. That's me. I'm helpless and unarmed. But anyway, so when you're out in the middle of nowhere, you got to spend $441 for the hardware, $120 a month for Starlink. In most circumstances, because they're talking about rural areas and whatever else, even in rural areas, there's Comcast and there's cheaper, even cheaper ways. So, but again, if they had come up with and said, you know what, out of $42 billion, we got 7 million Americans hooked up to the internet, it'd still be a galactic failure. It's the same thing with their electric car charging stations. If they had actually said, you know what, we had $8 billion for it, supposed to build 500,000 of these stations, and we built 175,000, galactic failure. But they built seven, electric car charging stations with $8 billion, and zero people were hooked up to the internet for $42 billion. And by the way, that $50 billion that was spent on both is gone. It's gone. That's what she's, this out, this, everything she gets put in charge of is an absolute galactic disaster. Look at the border. 15,000 people a day crossing our border. 15,000 people a day. She was put in charge of criminal justice in the state of California. And what happened? Crime went through the roof. You have poop all over the street, needles all over the street. She was holding people in prison longer than their sentences so she could use them for free labor. That's not me talking. That's a Democrat accusing her of that, Tulsi Gabbard. And she withheld exculpatory evidence for a man on death row until she was ordered by the court. She was ordered by the court to release it. This is something that would set the guy free from death row. In other words, he was convicted of a murder he didn't commit. She has exculpatory evidence, which means evidence that proves his innocence. She withheld it until she was court ordered. And she sleeps like a baby at night until she was court ordered to release it. And this woman sleeps like a baby at night. That's how horrible she is. Everything she touches turns to an absolute freaking disaster. Absolute disaster. Let me cover this. Speaker Mike Johnson tweet. Congress has an immediate obligation to do things responsibly, because we're talking about funds now. $42 billion gone, $50 billion gone into the wind, gone. Absolutely gone. Remember the border wall? $8 billion gone. No wall. Like Aaron said, if you're gonna spend all the money, at least have something to show for it. At least have something. Aaron, hey, Aaron, do me a favor. Put up your cumulative death chart for me. Here's something to show for it. This is from government spending. Did a great job here, right? Cumulative age, standardized excess mortality. Notice when it went up. Anybody want to look down? Let's see there now. Went exponentially up at the beginning of 2021, approximately week six of 2021. What? Look at now, all of it to your left, that includes the COVID pandemic. Did the COVID pandemic look worse than any other year at all? Any other year where there was a lot of flu? Notice the 2000, I've always told you for the last 4.5 years of 15 days to flatten the curve, that we actually had a huge flu year in 2018 where about 80,000 Americans died. That's about the same amount of people that died in 2020 from COVID. But again, there was also then, so you had 80,000 flu deaths in 2018, and then we only had 1,300 flu cases in 2020. Everything you've been told your entire life is an agenda-driven, narrative-driven Goebbels lie. Look at that. That's something Kamala Harris can claim, because that all was all on her watch. Right there. That's the success story. If anybody noticed that's we're on week eight of 2024 right there, so early 2024, and it hasn't gone down. Anybody notice that? That's what the government accomplishes. Speaking of the government, go back to the last one for me, Naz. Speaker Mike Johnson, Congress has an immediate obligation to do two things. Responsibly fund the federal government. No, you don't. No, you don't. Why? Okay, what is responsible? Again, defining responsibility is like defining hate speech or misinformation. Who's going to define it? Responsibly fund the federal government. To do what? Let me ask you, everybody out here again. You can actually put your answers in the chat. Aaron will let me know what you say. What have you gotten from the federal government? I mean, we can talk about what we get from the local government. We maybe get some roads. We get the cops. You know, I'm a former cop. Love the cops. Firefighters. We like all that stuff. That's great, right? Paramedics. Things like that. So we get that. What has anybody ever got from the federal government? What have you ever got from the ATF, the DHS, FBI, Department of Education, Border Patrol? What have you ever gotten? I mean, the Border Patrol just lets them into your country. So what do we ever get from the federal government? Why do we need to responsibly fund the federal government? How about we don't responsibly fund the federal government? How about we cut the federal government starting today in half? Would that affect anybody? No. It wouldn't affect anybody except people making their living off of it and prospering off of it. Lobbyists and politicians and mass corporations as they merge with the federal government, which is fascism, and ensure the security of our elections. He's attaching the SAVE Act temporarily to the CR. We're going to do this briefly. Oh, crap. I'm already 2 minutes past my time. Crap, I said 10:14. Man. All right, I'm going to do this quick. I'll be done in the next couple months. Because we owe this to our constituents. No, Mike, you can take what you owe and shove it up your own caboose. We will move forward on Wednesday with a vote on the six-month CR. What is the CR? Of course, continuing resolution with the SAVE Act attached. Okay, first of all, you can't do anything with the SAVE Act right now. SAVE Act is to ensure that our elections are secure. In other words, the SAVE Act means that you can't vote unless you are a citizen of the United States of America. And that puts in place, I mean, that allegedly the SAVE Act makes that concrete in law. Well, is that going to affect this election? Mike, where was the SAVE Act on the last CR? Where was the SAVE Act on the last minibus that you passed in May or April of this year for $1.7 trillion that you used to fund abortions up to the moment of birth and even after birth, that you used to fund transition surgeries for illegal border invaders and for United States citizens, that you used to fund in that minibus package of $1.7 trillion, you used that money to lop off the penises, breasts, and testicles of 14-year-old boys. You used that money to fund the open borders and the NGOs that are facilitating all of the illegals across our southern border. So what does it mean to responsibly fund the government? Lopping off penises? Funding leftist NGOs in the Darien Gap that are sex trafficking children across our southern border and drug trafficking fentanyl across our southern border and labor trafficking women, children, and men across our southern border as a Catholic charity that's responsibly funding government? And again, that 1.7, the 1.7 minibus that he passed back in April or May of this year, that's part of the $6.8 trillion spent in fiscal year 2024, which is October of 2023 through October of 2024, $6.8 trillion, and we bring in between $4 and $5 trillion worth of taxes, tax money. So we went another $2 trillion in debt when the House who owns the purse is run by the Republicans. You can say no anytime you want. They can defund the FBI right now. They can defund DHS right now. They can defund Alejandro Mayorkas right now. They can defund the FBI and Christopher Wray right now. They never do it. Why? Because they're on the same team. Head of the two heads of the exact same snake. And I am a diehard Republican, but I'm a diehard to the Republican platform, which is pro-life and small government. But the people like Mike Johnson, he's funding abortions. He knows, oh, that's the other part I forgot. His last minibus bill funded Planned Parenthood. Funded Planned Parenthood. What's the difference? Do you realize right now that the Republicans are spending more money on Democratic Party initiatives and policies than Hakeem Jeffries did? Than Pelosi did? Why is that, Tom? Because they're on the same side. Republicans are only in place so that these extreme uses of government, these extreme abuses of government, us being $36 trillion in debt, is made more palatable for you. So you believe because Mike's attaching the SAVE Act to it. You attach the SAVE Act to this continuing resolution. What happens is the actual omnibus bill will be passed right after the election so that none of them suffer the consequences of putting us $38 trillion in debt. That's exactly what they're going to do. So the omnibus gets passed without the SAVE Act attached to it. But we passed it with the CR. What does it do for the CR? We get a CR for 3 months, and that's going to transform our elections. It's going to eliminate election fraud. It's going to eliminate illegals voting in our elections by the hundreds of million, hundreds of thousands or millions in a month and a half until the election. I mean, everybody does realize, what's the date today, Aaron? September 20th?
20th.
Yeah, I mean, everybody realizes the election's November, what, 5th, I think.
Yep.
I mean, how many days is that? Let's see, that's 15 days right there and 30, so we got about 45 days. The CR is going to do it. No, Mike is just using it to get to the omnibus. So he can get the CR passed. I'm attaching the SAVE Act to it. And when the omnibus is passed for another $2, $3 trillion that we don't have that's being printed by the Fed, and the Fed buys its own debt and prints the cash to buy its own debt. And then lo and behold, when that omnibus bill is passed, there will be no SAVE Act. I meant to get more on that, but it's already 10:21. I'm already way past this. What do you got, Aaron? You got something?
I'm so sorry to do this, but I had to go back into that internet thing real quick because I did the math.
I knew you wouldn't be able to resist.
I couldn't help
myself. Disobedient employee.
I know, Aaron.
Aaron, you're fired for the next 10 seconds.
I'm fired. Okay.
You're rehired in 10 seconds.
All right, sweet. So $45 billion from...
Divided by...
Yeah. $441 for the Starlink install. That's $102 million... Americans that could have internet.
Okay, now, so you're telling me that Kamala Harris fell short by only 102 million people?
Yes.
Oh,
yes. That's success.
And that's exactly what it's planned for, by the way, is over 100 million people. It was actually, she was given that allocations of funds so that 100 million people could be on the internet. And she accomplished exactly zero people being put on the internet. She accomplished zero out of 102 million people that were supposed to get internet via the $42 billion. Everything you've ever heard is a bold-faced lie from the federal government. Everything. It's all a joke. It's all a scam. All right, 1022. Who's got 1022 in the chat? Let's see if I get it done. All right, stick around for the post game, everybody. Oh, I got to do the Foundation Church thing. Listen, folks, we got to break 700. We've been stuck at high fives and low sixes for a long time. Very thankful for that. But there's 910 people watching. You got to have a church. If you're going to a church, you're like, Tom, you shouldn't say things like this. I told you my yes is yes and my no is no. If you're going to a church that caved for COVID and they've never apologized and they've never said that they're wrong, you're going to the wrong church. 1023 now. I didn't even make 1022. You're going to the wrong church. And listen, you're better off going to a church online than going to the wrong church in person. You're better off going to the right church online than the wrong church in person. So join us at Foundation Church this Sunday. Listen, you want to talk about hellfire and brimstone, but also the promises of God, the entire what you call full gospel. You'll hear every end of it, that God wants you well, that God wants you wealthy, that God wants you healed, that God wants you mentally well. God doesn't want you depressed. God doesn't want you to have anxiety attacks. And you'll also hear you either turn or you burn. You'll hear hellfire and brimstone too, everything. Because we are as familiar with the Bible here as the original writers of the Constitution were with the Constitution. We preach the gospel. Most Christians are as familiar with the Bible as most Americans are with the Constitution, which is nobody has any idea what either one of them says. But you'll hear the gospel here. And of course, you might hear a little bit of politics coming from the pulpit because I don't give a crap what anybody says. There you go. So join us at Foundation Church this Sunday. Aaron will come on, start leading worship. Great singer, great worship team. He'll come on somewhere between 10:15 and 10:20. I'll come on, start preaching somewhere around the 11 o'clock mark. Join us at Foundation Church. Have other people join too. Have church at your house. And then let me know you're having church at your house and we'll bless you. So let us know. But anyway, we love you, and I'll say hey to you also when you're online watching church on Sunday morning. Love you guys. Post game's awesome. Guys, stick around for it. You know it's coming at the end. Stick around for the post game. It is great, and I will see you Sunday morning. If not, I'll see you Monday night, 9 o'clock. Love you all. God bless you. See you then. Most Christians, though, don't pass the test, and instead they become controlled opposition for the devil. They just change their theology. I didn't pass the test, but you know what? God's just all about being in the midst of our struggles. That's not a Bible verse. It's not a Bible verse. God wants you to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, not ever struggle. If you do these things, you will never struggle. Those things are really the four essentials: prayer, Bible study, worship, fellowship. Well, I tried that. Yeah, you tried it for a day, you tried it for a week, tried it for a month, maybe even tried it for a year. But you gave the devil 50 years. And you gave God 50 minutes. I'm telling you right now, if you prayed and studied the word every day, you would never, ever struggle in your walk with God.
If you enjoyed watching the Tom Lipley podcast, please consider investing in our program. Go to tomlipley.com, and donate $25 or more, and we will send you this TLP mug warmer. We look forward to you tuning in next week, and thank you for giving.